I'd invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy in chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 20 this morning. As we've been walking through the Ten Commandments, we come to the commandment, as I've tried to look of a title for it, Telling Tales Out of Turn. As the scripture itself says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Lord, speak to us. May the meditations of our hearts, the words of my lips, be pleasing unto you. Amen. I served in Reading for a time in the 90s. And while I was there, I stumbled upon a little park. I mean little. Some parks, you know, are bigger than others. We were in West Virginia on vacation for a few years. We've done that. But I think I stumbled upon the smallest national park I've ever seen. It's about as big as, not much bigger than this pulpit. And what it is a rock out of which bubbles the headwaters of the Potomac River. That's it. Apparently, Thomas Jefferson found it. And so they've just put a plaque on that rock saying, here it is. So in Reading, there was a memorial to that. Reading has a long tradition of having great firefighting companies. And I think after Philadelphia, Reading came next. Do you know, Denny, if that's the truth? Anyhow, it has a whole bunch of companies. I ran with one which was essentially not running. It was going to meetings and just saying, this was their standard report from the engineer, progress, which meant nothing because the engine was stored in a barn somewhere. But next to it was something that caught my eye, an anchor lying against a rock. And the anchor was from the USS Maine, the battleship Maine. Now, does anybody remember the Maine? Okay, I see you shaking your head. Can you tell me what the Maine was about? Now, I know you weren't born then. That's back in 1898. But I was, remember the Maine, and to blankety blank was Spain, right? So what was that? What happened? Can you tell us? That's right. It was in the harbor of Cuba, and it blew up. A massive explosion. It killed 268 sailors, just like that. Half the whole ship was destroyed. All the sailors, half of them were killed instantly in this explosion. And the thing of it is, as it went on, instantly newspapers at the time were practicing what they call yellow journalism. In other words, they were just trying to gin up sales for their various newspapers. And so the Hearst newspapers in particular, remember William Randolph Hearst, anybody? Of course, I never met him. You never met him. But he owned, like, for instance, San Francisco Examiner, Los Angeles Examiner. What was the other one? It was New York something. And New York Journal, and among other newspapers. And so he picked up this explosion of the USS Maine and said it had to have been the Spanish who did it. The ship had to have hit a Spanish mine in the harbor, and they caused the explosion. Well, as they came to find out, the Maine is among our first battleships to use coal as its fuel for the boilers. And in particular, it used a type of fuel, type of coal, bituminous coal. You know, the soft coal? Coal is infamous for emitting what they call, it's like carbide lamps that the old miners used to use. It's infamous, fire damp, that's the word, fire damp. And it's extremely explosive. And what actually happened to the ship was the coal down in the holds of the ship for the boiler created conditions in those closed rooms in which the coal was stored for the fire damp to explode. You know, one spark would cause it to explode. And it split the ship in, and it sank instantly, killing all those sailors. So that's the truth of it. As one of the admirals who was sent to study it, even back in the 90s, concluded, as well as admirals throughout the entire period. But it was the excuse that the newspapers, among others, needed to gin up the Spanish-American War. You know, the Spanish held at the time not only Cuba, which many had their eye on as wanting to become a state, Puerto Rico, the Philippines, and so all the other possessions of the what was the remnants of the colonial Spain, all based upon the destructive power of a lie. One has to look no further today to see this going on. Russia has been spreading lies about Ukraine for months to justify its invasion of Ukraine, hasn't it? And we see the consequences before us every day. It just breaks your heart to see, and if it doesn't break your heart, you have to ask yourself, where is my heart? The ninth commandment, you shall not give false, or as the word might be better translated, empty testimony against your neighbor, is not so much personal, is it? It has that little clause addending to it, against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against someone else. And so it makes it communal. And its intent. Its intent is to keep peace between neighbor and neighbor, person and person, isn't it? The context of the commandment is at the first in the courts. You know, now back in the day which the commandment was given, they didn't have courts with some judge sitting up on some chair up high. And, you know, the defendant lawyers and the others, lawyers for prosecution. No. They didn't have all that yet. But as they met, either in the town square or in even the gates of the village, the same thing was going on. And so the commandment was given for the purpose of achieving justice. Don't lie about what you've seen in the court of justice. We swear today to what? To tell the truth? The whole truth? And nothing but the truth. So help me God. Am I going to have to like, do I need a gavel here to wake? Is it the change in the hours? Okay, did you know that they say that there are more heart attacks in this period, this week, than any other time because it screws up our body clock? So, at any rate. But there's two other aspects which I just remark upon quickly. First, it extends beyond this commandment to our relationships simply with each other. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, he said, I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. In other words, he's saying, look, I may have to come and like lay down the law a little bit with you. He said, I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Doesn't that sound like the picture of the results of lies and lying, of giving false testimony? How many churches themselves are riven by such? It's interesting to me that, you know, people want to point fingers at one sin and ignore other sins often, don't they? It's interesting to me that in the one of the sin lists Paul writes about, where he speaks of the sin of homosexuality, he's also, in the very word before it, says gossip. He places gossip in the same place. Wow. I tell you what, I'm in trouble. I don't know about you. When we even deign to listen to gossip, aren't we giving also some sort of assent to that as well? So, this commandment, don't give time even to such, because it's destructive of the community. James verse 5 says that the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. Here's what it says. The tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Justin Buzzard makes a point I think that's worth considering. The old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, harm me. Right? It's not true, he says. Words can hurt us, especially lies, slander. But some words, true words, they build up. They can heal and set us free. We can destroy each other's reputations and good name with our gossiping and giving attention to gossip, or we can build each other up. Make each other whole and healthy in the church as it should be. Somebody said we can't have healthy relationships and community without truth-telling. Now, I got to say, sometimes SPRC, Staff Parish Relations Committee, for me, which oversees me, advises me, has been a blessing to hear affirmation from. But it's also been a place where I've had to, take constructive criticism. At least you hope it's that. But I've always found whenever I've failed, sometimes that's been the time when I've learned the most, too. I can look back on, 34 years and think of many times where there's been something that's been hard to hear, but actually, as I calmed down later, I was thinking, you know what? There's some truth to that. Yeah, that hit home. And maybe that's why, too, it was hard for me to hear, because another aspect of this is one of the things we can say is we lie because we're afraid. Fear is, think of Adam and Eve. What is it that the scripture tells us but that they hid from the Lord because they were naked and afraid? They were afraid of what the Lord would say to them. Do to them even. Ultimately, we don't tell the truth because in some way we don't believe the truth and we're afraid. We're afraid of the word that will come. And our fear has continued down through the ages. Our lies, someone said, speak volumes about us. They reveal what we're most afraid of. So think a moment with what do our lies say about us today? Is it losing someone's approval, perhaps love or respect, and so we put on some veneer that's a lie? Or afraid of losing certain comforts and securities? Somebody was comparing this to the lie that was told by one of our presidents and his casuistry of saying, it depends on what the meaning of is. Ultimately, it's like we're afraid of being found out, that we're really not the person that we expect to be. And you know, that's why I want to say, Jesus. Do you know why the Son of God came to earth? Every one of these Ten Commandments we cannot keep. And this commandment, as with all the others, is why Jesus came for us. Jesus died about this to tell the truth about us. And though people bore false witness against him at his trial, Jesus kept to the end the ninth commandment, this commandment, to help back. He bled to bear true witness about us and for us. And I'd suggest if we really believe this truth, we wouldn't be so afraid anymore. Afraid of not only each other, but more even of the judgment of God, our Father. We'd quit living lies and start telling the truth. You know, Calvin it was who said that we're so flawed and full of lies that Jesus had to die for us. And we're so loved and accepted that Jesus was willing to die for us, for you, and for me. By going through this series of the Ten Commandments, I think we can all see that we're more sinful than perhaps we've even dared to imagine. But because of Jesus, brothers and sisters, because of Jesus, we know we're far more loved and accepted than we've ever dared also to imagine. Only Christianity tells us the truth about who we are, both as sinners and as redeemed. Other religions, they ask simply that you try and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? To do better so that the scales will be balanced out at the end. And if you've been good enough, then the scale will be weightier on that side. But who can live up to that? No one. Not one. Others, they tell us to just seek nirvana by escaping this life altogether, by pretending that we really in this life, there's nothing to live for, and so only to look to the future where we'll be reborn again and again and again. But rather, Christianity tells us that we have a God who knows the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth about us, and yet still loves us and was willing to die for us. The one who is fully righteous and so made of our unrighteousness a righteousness, not that we deserved, but that he gave. How do we keep the ninth commandment? Let the truth be told. And tell the truth to yourself. We're never going to be able to tell the truth to our neighbor if we can't tell the truth to ourselves. Most of us spend much of our days listening to and believing lies without even knowing. Lies other people tell. Lies we tell about ourselves. lies Satan whispers in our ears, tickling them. Some lies, they include what? There is no hope for you. Things will never get better. I am worthless. My life doesn't make any difference. How many of our youth have killed themselves in these past few years? Because that's the word that they've been hearing from Instagram or whatever it is that they're on. Or that we've been on ourselves. That's the voice that's speaking to them. My heart aches for my grandson who's mentally ill. Because I know these are the words he's been hearing about himself. And I am so worried. I gave him a shotgun when he was just came of age, and I've taken it home. It's here in my safe. Because it only takes one accident, one impulsive thing. When we listen to these lies about ourselves. How many times have I heard in the firehouses I've been a part of, I could never be forgiven? The house of the church's roof would fall down upon everyone if I entered into it. Let the lies that you're hearing shrivel, brothers and sisters, under the truth. The sunshine truth of Scripture. For instance, as Paul writes in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters of God, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, even in our desperation. The sufferings of this present time, Paul wrote, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. He went on, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also with him give us graciously all things? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bear not false witness against your neighbor, says the commandment. But let us always tell the truth of Christ. Through the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.